This episode is sponsored by Under Armour and their Infinite Elite Everyday Running Shoe, which I was lucky enough to head out to Barcelona and see being unveiled at its launch, and to chat to athletes like Sharon Nakidi, who won the New York Marathon a few years ago, who does all of her easy and steady runs in this pair of shoes. And then we've set Jess from the Running Channel a very specific challenge to train for 12 weeks for her fastest, hopefully ever, 10K, which is also back out in Barcelona.
Yeah, she is loving training in this shoe. And I think it's important as well, because we're so lucky we get to test lots of different shoes, but we do know that some people just want that one pair that will do everything. So Jess has been doing her long runs, interval sessions, and she will be tackling the final 10K in the Under Armour Infinite Elite shoes.
Yeah, big focus on endurance and a brand new foam, which provides extra energy return and looks after you on even your longest runs. So if you want to know more, head to the link in the show notes. You are listening to the Running Channel podcast with me, Andy Badley, Rick Kelsey in the corner pressing buttons, and last and very much least, Sarah Hartley, who I could definitely do without in my life right now.
Tough gig. I feel like she's had a tough few days. We should leave her alone, you know.
Yeah.
Every time she goes anywhere, she can't get back.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that means I'm blaming her entirely for all of the travel delays that I've had in the last month or so.
Yeah, I'm a curse. Just don't put me anywhere near a plane. It will be delayed.
Right,
yeah.
We're only running in the UK from now on. Let's go.
Deal. I am so excited for the topic this week. It is what no one tells you before you start running. We've all had a little think about ones that we're going to bring up. I've got a great list of ones that I've asked other people for as well. So more on that a little bit later. But first, how have your weeks been, Rick?
Well, I had a critical incident this week.
Oh, God. This is... Hit me with it.
You ran out of Gavi.
Yeah, I am quite low.
A global wine shortage.
Yeah.
People have started messaging me on Instagram saying, how's your Gavi stock? But anyway, yes. That's not
it. The seller.
If we go back into lockdown, you'll find Rick in the wine aisle stockpiling.
Yeah. No, I was... Obviously, I'm training because I've got a 10K coming up. And I've had to, you know, go out and do some longer stuff midweek. It's been incredibly hot in the UK recently.
Yeah.
And I put sun cream on, and other runners will have experienced this, that at some point the sun cream starts leaking into your eyes.
Oh, it's excruciatingly painful.
And the pain, I think for a minor ailment, I don't think there is a worse pain for a minor ailment.
Do you know how to fix that?
No, but let me just finish the sentence.
I think what he wishes is that you would have told him this beforehand.
I wish you had. Mm-hmm. In a recent podcast, we did DNF.
Yeah, yeah.
In a race, I had a DNF in training.
because of your eyes?
No, because I couldn't see where I was going.
How far away from home were you?
A long way, and even further away about 5 minutes later when I couldn't see the corner. I literally couldn't open my eyes. I had to sit down in the park and find a pond and splash stuff.
A pond?
And splash water my eyes, to which a woman comes up to me in the pond and goes, there's vile disease in that. You don't want to splash water. So I'm like, well, I can't see anyway. It's all gone.
The woman came up to you in the pond?
No, she got on the edge of the pond, splashing the water.
Yeah, I was imagining someone just wading through the pond.
Hallucinating on this run.
They just swam up.
So in summary, dramatic, answer my question. How does this not happen again?
Okay, so if you've got quite a good bushy eyebrow, Rick, so this should solve your problem no end. Get a bit of Vaseline.
Right.
Or other similar products are available. Spread it across your eyebrow.
Quite thickly, I think, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and it'll stop the sun cream going in.
Oh my gosh, I just wish I'd known that.
Do you want to know something funny?
Or wear a hat.
And then
avoid putting sun cream on your forehead at all.
Oh, these are really good suggestions.
So I am, my dad plays golf in the summer and like burns so easily, and my mum's always nagging him to put sun cream on. And I went round the other day and had a similar conversation where he was like, it just gets in my eyes. And I was about to tell him this trick and then looked at his eyebrows and he has like one hair. But I think it will still work if you just like
Vaseline your eyebrow. So the actual eyebrow.
The area, because it'll act as like a barrier.
All right. So just big strips of Vaseline across both eyebrows.
Yeah.
I suppose if you just did one, it'd be pointless.
Yeah, I'm not sure how useful this is going to be. Like in
just run with one eye.
September, it's just been unusually hot in the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sarah, you're running.
Mine's been actually pretty good this week. I've just been trying to fit runs in is what I found really hard. Like with travel, with being busy, I'm about to go on holiday.
Swimming up to strangers in ponds.
Yeah, mermaid.
Just in ponds. It's just very hard to fit runs in, isn't it? And as much as like, you know, we're having a very warm September, the days are very much getting shorter. And I did my first run in the dark the other week. And yeah, it's just not that. Yeah. I had that like feeling of like, oh, I just don't really want to run in the dark. But I got out, did it. And I've got like quite a nice 5 mile route near me where I go over a bridge. And when I got over the bridge and like everything was lit up, it was actually quite pretty. But yeah, running in the dark, not the one. How's your marathon training going?
I have also had a little run that finished in the dark. I just managed to get the kids in bed just in time. And I thought I had a window of opportunity to get out there. And I think generally, for me anyway, as long as my eyes are getting used to it, as I'm running, so the sort of literally the sun is setting and it's getting dark, then I'm just about okay. I don't live in an area with very many streetlights.
Oh, see, I'm just running.
You do live near
London.
A zoo, though.
That's true. Yes, I do.
Famous so for a streetlight.
There is a fear of a lion attack.
Fear of a lion attack.
Yeah.
Did you spend too long staring at a field, so it got dark?
Yeah, just to let my eyes adjust to the gloaming. By the way, isn't gloaming a wonderful word?
What does that mean?
It's like that time I've just described, I think, as the...
Like sunset, golden hour.
I guess it's dusk. It's like another word for that.
Well, at least your eyes were able to adjust.
Yes, because I could see.
Because you didn't have sun cream in them.
But yeah, I've been steadily building up my running still. Done my longest couple of runs in the last few weeks, which have been going okay. Fingers crossed. I getting some lovely support from my coach on Strava when he sees... he sees the runs that I do, where I happen to have run, this was the other week, I ran 16K, so 10 miles.
Yeah, pretty good.
At an average pace, which I think is pretty close to what I'd like to run for my marathon. And he was like, okay, that's 16K done, only another like three times that, or whatever it was he said to me, which was, I know it's not quite three times.
Yeah, what, like 28, 26K to go?
Yeah, just another 26K, it'd be fine.
No, that's wrong. Don't judge my maths.
No, that's right, 26 and 16.
That would make 42. 44. Oh no, that would make 42.
Oh, Sarah, brilliant. It's been a long few weeks.
Yeah.
Hey, I can't do maths.
Jet lag.
Yeah, should we get
back
into the
yourself.
Topic?
Yes, we should.
Right, so that was not a smooth intro because Rick didn't do it, but hey, that was an all right transition.
People bearing with us.
It's okay, we'll get it right next week.
Rick looks so disappointed. So we're talking about what no one tells you before you start running. So I did a bit of a poll in the Running Channel office and got suggestions from different people.
Oh yeah.
And the first one I want to talk about is one that Rick will hate.
Oh no.
Gels make you poo yourself.
Oh no. Well, that's, not always true. I've been experimenting with the gels for my marathon and had my first one recently on a run, and I didn't poo myself, and in fact didn't even feel like it. So I think that I'm taking that as a win. I think I've been so prepped by you guys that this is a disaster waiting to happen.
Next.
I think it's I do think it's like, you don't know, like eating and running is a skill in itself, so when you do it for the first time, you don't know what your body's gonna do.
Yes. I actually think the thing that's what no one tells you before you start running is that idiots like us will talk about bodily functions way more than is normal before you start running. I think you become way more comfortable with queuing for the port-a-loo or whatever it might
just
be,
chatting,
a race event.
Being on a run with someone for 2 hours non-stop talking, you're going to have to move on to toilet stuff eventually.
Well,
you run out
like,
of
no,
other stuff.
Look at his face. he rolled his eyes at me just then.
Isn't it just about getting food into your body at the right time of day?
And making sure it doesn't go out of your body at the wrong time of day.
Well, I think Rick's point is that it doesn't always have to end with that.
Right, go on, Rick. What did no one tell you before you started running?
Definitely about the clothing situation. So
you have to wear them, mate.
Yeah,
it's been hot, but not that hot.
I think I definitely just got a pair of shoes and just went straight out and ran and didn't wear my trainers before I got into them, which obviously can cause a few problems.
Mm, yeah. So you hadn't worn them in?
I hadn't worn them in, no.
Yeah. I think that's, if you go out on a race. Yeah, a race or a much longer run than
new
you would
race.
Normally do.
Yeah.
In new kits and or shoes, it can be blister or chafe city.
Also, you don't always realise like how big a difference specific running shoes and clothing can make. Down to the one that I found the most surprising was socks. I ran for a good year in
your classic cotton crew socks.
Yeah, just my classic.
Hang on, I still wear classic cotton crew socks for running.
Well, Rick, we need to bring you up to speed.
Yeah, because you can get socks where they'll like give you a bit of arch support, or they'll be padded at the end to stop blisters. And also the biggest one is if you're running in the summer and it's really hot and you have like a cotton crew sock on, that is warm. Like,
okay, I went right out, and it's also soaking up sweat. It doesn't wick it away from your feet.
This is live revelation on this podcast.
Tell
right
you what,
now.
Rick.
So I can't wear my big thick Uniqlo pretty socks for running.
Other brands are available. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can, and like it depends on how hot it is. But yeah, I do think that you don't look back once you've worn proper running socks. Mm.
Okay. I need to sort this quickly because in a couple of weeks' time, I've got a major event and I don't want it to turn critical.
Yeah. I tell you what, we'll get you some socks and you can report back.
I'll tell you what it's like. Yeah. Okay, I think a lot of people will not know that there are running specific socks that give that type of support.
No, well, even as well, like so when I first started running, I wore exactly what I would wear to the gym. So like I had gym shoes, normal socks.
Yeah.
Shorts and like, well, I didn't really wear shorts to start off with, but like leggings that just didn't fit right. And then I would usually just wear a cotton t-shirt as well. So then, you don't need lots of like really fancy expensive stuff to start running. No. But actually, if you want to, I don't know, like perform at your best or have stuff that's going to last a long time as well, buying stuff that is running specific will last a lot longer because it's actually tailor-made to that. And you're not going to, I don't know, sweat a hole through a cotton t-shirt or something.
Yeah, generally the main thing is that the technical fabrics allow you to like wick sweat away from your body. So you're not having the moisture sitting next to your body, chafing and like making you wet, cold, hot, whatever it might be. And the socks are also like usually ergonomically designed. So you have a left and a right sock, so they fit differently. And the padding's in a different place.
Running underwear, huge game changer. Have you ever used that, Rick?
No.
Oh, so good. Running underwear, honestly. Obviously, like if you need a sports bra, that's another one that someone gave me. Like sports bras are not optional for running. Like you need a sports bra, but also like sports pants make a huge difference because of the material. You can get like, I can't remember the exact stuff, but like a lot of bacteria builds up. So if you have proper specific sports underwear for if you're doing like a really long run or a marathon or like an ultra or something, it's great for you.
Yeah, and they have specific ways of like creating the seams or not having any seams at all because it's the seams socks and pants and stuff.
I normally learn some stuff on this podcast, but this is incredible.
See, there you go. It's not all about toilet humor.
Related
Andy.
To the clothing, my one is a bit stupid, but I think, you know, what no one tells you before you start running is that you'll shove way more stuff down your shorts than you ever thought you would.
Yes. Yes.
I tell you what, I have seen you, what I can name that I've seen you shove down your shorts.
Hello.
A script when you tried to run a sub 90 minute half.
Oh yeah.
That fit down there.
That script, it was a paper script. By the end of that 90 minute half in like 20 odd degrees,
So
when you leave
floppy.
A tissue in your pocket in the washing machine, that's what it looked like.
It was also, it was printed on such thick paper, like it was like proper card to start off with and then like a blanket at the end.
So script, what else?
Script, phone.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Keys.
Yeah.
Mic pack.
Yeah.
Where do you fit all this?
These are quite specific to the running channel.
Yeah, these are specific.
But I'm also thinking that like in the winter I would take my gloves off when I get warm enough and shove them down the waistband of my shorts. In the summer, if I was to take an outer layer off or as it gets warmer, t-shirt or a jacket or something.
Grow
Make
a tail.
Put a little,
tail out the back of your shorts.
Have you ever done the thing, this isn't short specific, but if you ever have like a hydration vest on, that can be a baguette carrier. That can, I've fit an entire weekly shop down the back of a hydration vest. Like clothes, but if you run
Are we weird?
A
I really want to know.
Carrier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What on earth are you talking
about?
Well,
as in like, if you're just doing a short run and like I've done it where I'm like, okay, I'm going to do like a 10K and then finish up.
But you pop to a bakery and get some, a baguette.
Yeah. So I like finish up at the supermarket and then the front pocket where you would usually fit like a hydration flask or like a water bottle.
You put a baguette in there.
You can put a baguette in there.
I have seen a ridiculous picture of you doing this.
Also,
this is not fake news.
Tom from the Running Channel, I once did a walk with him where he put a sausage roll down in that pocket as well. Yeah. And he did like a 10K walk and then at the end got a sausage roll out and was so happy.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. There you go. There's loads of weird stuff that you'll end up carrying on a run. That's something I wouldn't have thought about.
Yeah.
And this has more come to me later. Like during my career training professionally, I guess I'd never took anything with me on the run other than my like house key. And often I would tie that to my shoes because I didn't like the jangle of the keys.
Oh, yeah. That was another one that someone gave me. what no one tells you, jangly keys are so irritating.
Oh man, if you're running with someone and they've got a key in their pocket, but they haven't separated their one house key that they actually need from all of their other keys, that's quite annoying.
Well, some people need two house keys.
Oh, okay. Well, they need to put them in two separate pockets. Or on both, one on each shoe.
One on each shoe, yeah. Yeah, we used to call them pocket percussionists in a video years ago.
Yeah. Don't you think, though, that in general, running shorts are poorly designed because they don't have zips on them?
Some do.
Some do, yeah. I would say that they're better more recently, and I have some in my shorts armory that have both zipped pockets and also the kind of quicker access, like flaps, almost like neoprene pockets. Pockets for gels, all of that sort of stuff. Yeah, gels is another thing that I might put in my waistband and my shorts.
I do think, though, is that they're shorts that are specifically made for performance versus for everyday running. If you make a short for performance, then what you're thinking about, what it needs to have, it needs to have like a pocket for gels. And that's probably it. And then like you buy a pair of shorts and go, right, well, I need my phone in it. I need my keys in it. I need my bank card in it. I'm going to take that to the post office. It'd be great if I could fit that in it as well.
Bank card. I think there's a fairly unusual use cases, but there we go. And I had another one totally unrelated to that, is that, and bear in mind, I had to, say what no one tells you before you start running. I'm so old. I had to think back a very long time. But elephants never forget. That's not even relevant, is it? But I relevant. It's not even relevant.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
Hello.
I might turn his mic off.
Yeah, thanks.
Please do.
But yeah, the urge to make this could be very unique to me. The urge to shave my legs is real. I haven't recently, but I did shave it when I was competing.
You look like you still shave your legs at the front.
Yeah, that's because I think I'm old enough now that when I wear trousers, it just wears the hair away on my legs, on a section of my legs. So now I'm re-motivated
to
shave my legs.
You never wear trousers, though. Very rarely wear trousers.
Well, I must wear them.
Sometimes.
Yes, occasionally.
Christmas Day.
Yes, either that or I'm like a grasshopper.
Goodbye,
I'm just
hair.
Constantly rubbing my legs together. the urge to kind of... I did it because it felt faster, weirdly. I would shave
really?
My legs.
It felt faster. Okay, not because it actually made any material
difference.
Well,
I started
difference.
Doing it because I'd get regular sports massage and physiotherapy, and I'd have niggles and they would take my legs and stuff, and doing that with hairy legs is painful. And then I just kept doing it because it made me feel faster. It's weird, right? And also I think it looked, if I'd done a lot of stuff in the gym or it felt like I was really fit, you could kind of see the like a little bit more muscular definition from
shaving
my legs.
Did you wax or shave?
Oh no, just like trim with clippers.
Clippers.
Trim with clippers.
Like, yeah.
Gosh.
Right. This has blown their mind.
That's blown my
mind. Sorry, do we need to move on now?
Related to that.
Yeah.
You were saying taping your legs. Tape your nipples.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Which can, I thought this was just something that happened if you didn't wear a sports bra, but I did see someone.
This happens to blokes as well. Happened with me and you were running 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, it happened to Tom when he was training like an Olympian for a week, but it also, I saw it happen to someone on TikTok who was wearing a sports bra. So if you wear a sports bra, beware as well.
Yeah.
If it's the like literal chafing of your t-shirt going up against your nipples, but that's very similar because Tito, who's one of our videographers, he is now the most in the know about how to tape your nipples. Like he will recommend the specific plaster.
He's hairy
as well.
How
to put it on. But this is the thing, like putting it on, fine. Watching them try to take it off.
Try to take it off, yeah.
Looks so painful. But it's just like a band-aid, you just gotta rip it straight off.
Do you know what this all leads to, Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
This is all an accumulation of stuff. And this podcast is about stuff that you didn't know before you started running. What people don't know is the amount of stuff you will acquire that you didn't have before.
That's so true.
Yeah. Foam rollers, nipple tape.
Yeah. Yeah, because you look at
punchy thing that I've asked you to for Christmas for the last 3
massage
years.
Massage gun.
I like a massage gun.
No one's bought me.
Punchy thing. Don't worry, mate. Christmas is coming.
It's probably because when you wrote
we'll disappoint you again.
It's probably because when you wrote your little Christmas list of Father Christmas, he read it and went, I have got absolutely no idea what a punchy thing is. So he's not getting that.
Don't worry. I know what it is. Yeah. Me and Rick are on the same wavelength. But yeah, it's so true. You look at running and go like, oh, that won't take up much space. That's a nice, simple
stuff
hobby.
Everywhere.
I have a floor to ceiling cupboard that is just filled with like hydration vests, shoes, clothes, like there's just so much stuff that you can achieve.
The running channel, obviously, we do get to test a lot of stuff as well.
Yeah.
Which is exciting. And then it's like, well, I never thought I needed this. And then now I've tried it, I can't go back.
Yeah. There's there's some stuff over the years where we've gone like, no, I don't think that's definitely like a nice to have extra. Yeah. Do you remember we tested wing mirror?
I was thinking of exactly those things, sunglasses with wing mirrors so you can see behind you.
Which to be fair is pretty cool, but I feel like it's more if you're on a bike.
Yeah, definitely really useful for blind spots on a bike, for sure.
Mm. Right, well, we've got through loads of what no one told you there. I feel like we do need a part two though.
This was good. This was good.
This is good. We've taught Rick something, so that's the main thing.
I would like to do a listeners correspondence episode on what no one tells you before you start running.
That's a good idea.
If you can email in to podcast@therunningchannel.com with all of the things that you think people should know that you didn't know before you started running, and we'll do maybe a whole episode where we just run through them and react to them, because I imagine some of those will be a bit bonkers as well.
I bet we'll learn something too.
Yeah.
So you're listening to the Running Channel podcast. Up next, we've got your questions to answer, plus we've each picked a new story from the world of running to discuss. Don't forget, this episode is sponsored by Under Armour and their Infinite Elite shoes. Now, at The Running Channel, we bang on all the time about how if you want to run fast, you need to run slow. I'm talking about the 80-20 rule.
Yes, you need to do the vast majority of your training at an easier or steadier pace. And you need an everyday pair of running shoes that you trust to do that. And the Infinite Elite has brand new cushioning technology in the form of Under Armour's Hover Plus. So that's designed to support you for the whole of even your longest runs with extra cushioning and energy return. So that's what this is all about.
Yeah, and if you want to check out the Under Armour Infinite Elite, head to the link in the show notes.
Right, well, I will go first. I'm going to jump straight in with my news story, which is about cross country. So a personal passion of mine, like when I was running on the track, there was a lot of people, like former professional athletes, the greats who had won world championships and Olympics and stuff, saying like, you need to run cross country. You need to build your base and your strength and your stamina on like something that's, you know, pretty hardcore. In the UK, the cross country scene is it's very old school. You run through often through streams and up muddy hills and stuff like that, as opposed to a lot of cross-country courses in the US, which are on beautiful golf courses. And I always wished I got to run on those, for example.
It's not real though, is it?
Well, I don't know. They run fast and they're like, it's not on road or track.
It's not a fake golf course.
Okay,
all right, it's not a fake golf, but it's nice to jump over trees and not know quite which way you're going.
We did a relay cross-country race, I remember, back at school, where you had to literally climb over gates and stiles and stuff.
It's great. That's what it's supposed to be
about. Absolutely. And you've got, and I'd be running in 15 millimeter spikes sticking out the bottom of my shoes. Like that's, you know, that's it's a big, and I've got scars on my feet from where other people stamped on me by mistake with their
spikes,
with their pretty long spikes. Sorry, my point here, as I went off on a little trip down memory lane, is that there's a new event that's been announced in the UK. So the night of the 10,000s in the summer, or the early part of the summer, is this huge spectacle on the track where there's beer tents on the track and you know, whatever you call them, flamethrowers and like live music and beer. And it's like this incredible atmosphere. They're trying to create that, essentially a night of the 10,000 meter PBs for cross country.
Wow.
In January at Parliament Hill, which is really iconic in the UK cross country scene as well, in North London.
That's amazing. So it's a bit like what they've done with the 100 in cricket.
Yeah.
They're just kind of just throwing the fireworks at it.
Yeah, trying to make it like I would say there's nothing more traditional in the world of running than cross country in the UK. It's very hasn't changed for 100 years. But we need to make people excited about our sport. And I don't want anyone that runs or you know, it's my passion, anyone that runs or is interested in running, I think would love the night of the 10,000s, even if they're not that interested in track and field. Same, I would love people to come and see the best runners in the UK and lots of club runners, everyone coming and running this. There'll be thousands of runners there. And I think the idea is that they'll run through beer tents and it'll be a lapped course. So it's great for spectators, but it'll still be proper, true, hardcore cross country.
That sounds great. We just need to tell them to have wine tents as well. Sarah, what's yours?
All about the wine. Yeah. So my new story this week is to do with pregnancy deferral. So New York, a lot of majors have been announcing changes to their policies for people who fall pregnant and they're signed up to the race. New York City Marathon have just changed their deferral policy, but it means that athletes will need to pay again if they defer. So if they've entered into the race and paid, they can defer to one of the next three races, but they will need to pay again.
So they get a guaranteed spot held for them, but they have to pay
yeah.
the next time as well as having paid the first time.
Okay. Yeah.
I think, you know, the more choice for this kind of stuff, the better. Because Chantal got a place in London a couple of years ago and obviously had to pull out when we got pregnant. And, you know, as things worked out, she didn't go back and do it again. But I think in general, just because when you got a baby, it's more difficult to try and work through this type of stuff. But in general, the idea of having more choice is only a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, we've talked as well about the She Races campaign before on here, which is a campaign for making sure stuff like this is put in place. And I'd love to know the experiences of anyone listening at races, good or bad, what you think about this as well. So definitely let us know at podcast@therunningchannel.com because it is becoming something that's more talked about. That, like Rick says, is definitely a good thing. And other races are putting in place different policies as well. So I imagine that it will get to the point where there's a fairly consistent policy across lots of different races.
Do you know what's also good as well? I think recently a lot of people have been talking more often and more frequently about running during pregnancy as well.
Yes.
And how it works. I mean, we've made a video on it a couple of years ago and there's been quite a lot actually in the BBC recently. One of their presenters has been talking about how she runs during pregnancy. And there's not that much science on it, to be honest with you, but we made quite a cool video which basically talks about how, you know, it is good to run if you've been running before, not like just start running during pregnancy. It's more like if your body's used to it and you keep running. But I think it's good that we're talking about it more.
Yes, exactly. There's like you said, there's not enough, hasn't been enough conversation or research about both running during and the stuff that's in place at races. So I guess in the main part, it's positive that there's conversation around this topic. Up next, your questions.
Okay, so first up, Matt from Belfast. Thanks, Matt. I'm training for a half marathon next month and doing 60K a week. Wow, okay. I'm planning on taking a lighter month around 20K per week after that before I start training for an early spring marathon. Does the 10% rule for building mileage still apply if you've done more weekly miles before and just taken a break? Or would it be safe to jump up to 50K per week pretty quickly if it's only 1 month of lighter training? Okay, all about the 10% rule. Andy?
Yeah, you've handed over to me. I would say no, it doesn't apply here. So depending on how long you've been logging 60K a week consistently for the half marathon, taking 1 month at a lower volume makes total sense. That's a good way of periodizing your training. But then yes, if you're down at 20 or 30K a week, you don't need to go 20, 22K, 24K, 28K. You don't need to step up in such small increments because it'll take you forever to get back up to that level. You can take bigger jumps. I wouldn't leap straight back to 50, 60K a week.
Yeah.
But I would do it over the course of 3 to 4 weeks rather than having to do it by 10%, which would probably take you months.
Yeah, but Sarah, the 10% rule is important, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. If you are building up for the first time, like if this will be your first marathon, or if you were only doing 20 to 30K a week, then it would be really important to go up in those 10% chunks for your overall weekly mileage, or 10% on what your longest run is, just so that you don't kind of shock your body.
Yeah, exactly. Just be sensible.
Next up, Luke from Indiana, and he's got a question about caffeine. Not one I've come across before, actually. My wife and I are training for a marathon, and on our longer runs, typically an hour or more, we use gels and electrolyte tablets with caffeine added. We both love the products we use, but realize that caffeine raises heart rate. Should we limit our use of caffeine during runs to keep us in our proper zones, or do the performance benefits of caffeine outweigh a possibly higher heart rate? Caffeine and heart rate. I mean, it does raise it, doesn't it? Me just having a cup of tea now, my heart rate's just gone up.
Yeah, Rick and Sarah both. You make my heart rate go up. every time you wave. Oh, I meant that
cute.
To be an insult, not a...
Oh, right. No, right. I took it as pure love.
Yeah, you just make me nervous. Make me nervous when you're trying to keep me on time and get me to shut up on this podcast. Also, we haven't touched on the fact that we've had both people. We knew where they're from, and we got someone from the US in Indiana, and someone from Northern Ireland in Belfast, which is really exciting to get sort of
always good, always great
all over
to
the world.
Where they're from.
That's just me delaying as I try and process
caffeine.
In my subconscious how to answer
caffeine,
the question.
Heart rate zones.
Yeah, there's a few things to think about. If you haven't practiced with what you're going to use on race day, and you will get a performance benefit and a boost from caffeine on race day, then you do run risks of GI, like stomach issues from caffeine in particular. So you do need to practice with them. Otherwise, you come to race day, if you're then like, right, I'm going to introduce this caffeine gel.
Hang on, why would you get stomach issues if you just normally have tea and coffee?
Well, I don't know whether they normally have tea or coffee.
It will also be like if you take something with caffeine and you're not used to caffeine whilst running.
Oh, yeah. So if you're doing something different.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no, but caffeine in particular like can have a diuretic effect and can also affect your stomach in terms of like needing to go to the toilet. So,
okay.
Oh, that's my understanding. So if you were thinking, right, I'm going to save it entirely for race day and never practice with it, that's a bad idea. It will raise heart rate, but it'll also improve endurance performance and you'll get the benefits of it on a run. I would say limit it to your longer runs, which is what they sound like they're doing anyway. And I think that's fairly sensible to be kind of building your longer runs with exactly what you plan on doing on the marathon race day. Then I wouldn't worry too much about the elevated heart rate. Although obviously normal health advice applies here. Like if you've got any health problems or like, you know, pre-existing conditions or whatever, then definitely seek medical advice before you start using something like caffeine, which is a stimulant.
I would also say think about how is the caffeine making you feel? Yeah. Because personally, I don't touch caffeine at all because it acts too quickly for me. Yeah. Like it just wouldn't, even if I had like a fizzy drink with caffeine in it, it acts so fast that I would be like buzzing around the room for 10 minutes and then crying. So for me, it doesn't work. But also if on a long run, you take the electrolytes or the gels with caffeine in and then you start to, you just don't feel good, then you don't need to. Like obviously a lot of elites use caffeine, some elites don't use caffeine. Yeah, so like it's subjective, and definitely like that's why you should practice with it in training as well, because just because there's science backing up that it can help doesn't necessarily mean that it is going to be the best thing for you.
Yeah, and it's unlikely to raise your heart rate massively because your heart rate's already elevated during a run. So if you're just sat and having a cup of coffee or something, then your resting heart rate would be raised, you know, if it was raised by 5 or 10 beats, then that's significant at rest. But being raised by 5 or 10 beats when you're running is less of an impact. Obviously, I'm pulling those numbers out of nowhere. But I would say that if you feel good, go off your RPE, so your rate of perceived exertion, like how hard out of 10 or 20 are you working? And does the caffeine help you get through those runs? And are you going to use it on race day? In which case, stick with it. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think in a future episode, we're planning on talking about legal performance enhancers for running, of which caffeine is definitely one.
Yeah, so if you have any other questions about caffeine or any other legal performance enhancers, stay tuned for that episode. And you've been listening to the Running Channel podcast. We got through another one. We did it.
Yes. Do have well done us.
One very small favour in that we want to make another version of this episode in that what no one tells you before you start running. So if you're listening to this right now, you've enjoyed it, send it to a running buddy, a friend, put it in the group chat of your running club.
Good idea.
Get them to email into podcast@therunningchannel.com with what no one told them before they started running. And hopefully the next episode will contain some absolute gems.
Yes, we're relying on you to spread the word. We love doing the podcast. It's genuinely my favorite time of the week. We love receiving all of the comments on social media, but also the emails that we get that makes the whole podcast. So without you guys listening, there is no podcast. So thank you very much.
Yeah, and me and Rick just put up with Andy each week.
But we do.
We enjoy each other's company.
Well, sometimes we scroll for the comments, and my favorite comment this week was, you know why I like your podcast? Because you actually talk about running. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
This episode was brought to you by Under Armour and their Infinite Elite Everyday Running Shoe, which has a focus on both comfort and endurance. So an ultra springy, responsive feel that protects your legs and keeps them feeling fresh, which is what Jess has been putting to the test as she's been training for over the last 12 weeks for taking on her ultimate ever 10K. And she's been focused on consistency. So being able to show up with those fresh legs every day and every week in order to put in the work and the recovery that she needs to do to run her best.
If you want to check out the Under Armour Infinite Elite, head to the link in the show notes.